Let us worship God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let us pray. Our Father, we come to Thee, knowing that in Christ Jesus we have received the spirit of freedom, the spirit of power, the spirit of faith and action in Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray, our Father, that Thou wouldst empower us more and more, that we may serve Thee with all our heart, mind, and being, that we might rejoice that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Give us hearing ears, obedient hands, and joyful hearts in Thy service. In Christ's name, amen. Our scripture is Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 13. Our subject, covenant renewals. Covenant renewals, Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 13. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that he may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go out with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law, and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Deuteronomy chapters 31 through 33 give us Moses' last words. He knows, because God tells him so, that very grim apostasies will in time mark Israel's future, and that God's judgments will be severe. Despite his intense partiality to his people, Moses' faith and hope are in God. He knows God cannot be deflected from his purpose, nor can he ever fail. Moses is now 120 years old. He says, I can no more go out and come in, verse 2. His statement perhaps reflects his sense of aging more than an inability to function. It also reflects his awareness that God would take him before the nation crossed over Jordan. In Hebraic terms, 120 years meant three generations, a generation being generally reckoned as 40 years. Nowadays, they tend to make it 20 years because they say in about 20 years, the leadership at the top shifts. Be that as it may, the biblical generation was 40 years. The generation that left Egypt as adults was now dead, except for Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Their children were aging men, and their grandchildren had reached maturity. The result of Moses' imminent death is that a change of leadership is necessary. His successor, Joshua, has already been chosen by God. This transfer of authority is made easier because Israel faces battle. And Joshua was a tested man. At the same time, religious authority is given to the Levites and the duty of teaching and covenant duties. In verses 9 through 13, we are told that Moses had written the text of Deuteronomy. It was now delivered to the priests, the Levites, and the elders of the clans or tribes. Every year at the Feast of Tabernacles, this law was to be read in its entirety during the week of celebrations together. Now, this was a legal requirement because Deuteronomy is covenant law. Covenants are treaties of law, and in this case also a treaty of grace, because it is between a great King God who in his mercy gives his law to a people. The requirement of such royal covenants or treaties was that the covenant law be read to all the people regularly. God here stipulates the seventh or sabbatical year. The law is their charter of freedom, as the words of James reminds Christians in James 1, verse 25 and 2, Verse 8. In every country of antiquity where the king gave the law, he stipulated that it had to be read publicly because the law was the protection of the people. They were to know what was their basis for freedom. Now, what they had we would not call freedom in Christian terms, but at least it meant that they had some kind of protection. The reading of the law was thus usually a joyful reminder of their privileged status to Israel. Although when King Josiah ordered its reading after a long apostasy, the people wept. Their general disobedience for a long time meant fearfulness. To break one's word to another man or to the state is no trifle, but to break one's word to God can be very deadly. The neglect of Deuteronomy in our time is no light matter. Every society requires law. The law determines what is good and what is evil. Law is always a religious matter, and the only question is, which religion does a legal system express and establish? Every country has an establishment of religion through its laws, because every system of law defines good and evil, and good and evil are inescapably and always religious matters. So the reading of the law is both a civil and a religious act. It defines the moral imperative of the society. The reading is not the same as religious instruction in the law. According to J. A. Thompson, writing in the ancient Near East had been in common use for well over 1,000 years before Moses. A little more than a century ago, people were rejecting the books of Moses. Moses could not have written them. Why? Because there was no writing in Moses' day. Writing did not develop until centuries later. Of course, before long they found abundant archaeological evidence of writing in Moses' day and 1,000 years early. Did it change their minds? Did it make them ready to believe the Bible? Not in the slightest. They were not the least embarrassed by what they had previously said. Well, in this ceremony, church and state, to use our modern terms, renewed their allegiance to God's covenant. In this ritual, more than a private allegiance to the covenant was affirmed. The total community, church and state alike, to use our terms, had to be under the covenant and its law. The source of Israel's strength, as of any man or nation, can only be God the King. What Moses is told that God will do, God repeats later to Joshua, in Joshua 1, verses 2 through 9. One of the most amazing passages in all of Scripture, a passage that is the commission. And when our Lord gave the Great Commission, it was a condensation of Joshua's. Listen to what God said to Joshua, which he says to all his people. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now arise, therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Tremendous promise, and it's to us when we move forward in Him. From the wilderness of this and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What do we read in the last chapter of Hebrews? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we are commanded not to be afraid. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, these words are repeated again and again throughout the Bible and in the New Testament. They are not only for Israel, but for all the people of God. Therefore, we are with those who heard Moses to recognize that the source of our strength is God the King. Verses 6 and 8 are especially stressed, and they are stressed because they are so important for all time. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. These are verses to memorize. The reading of this book of the law was to take place in the sabbatical year, every seventh year. This was a time of rest from work and from debt. The sabbatical was a requirement of the law. It freed man from debt and oppression into godly living. For this reason, the law was seen as a cause for joy. And there are still echoes of this equation of the law with freedom and joy in Orthodox Jewish circles. They see the law as freedom and as joy. Now, although this requirement was neglected in times of apostasy, we do have a record of its observance in Joshua 8, 34 and 35, and in Nehemiah 8. Deuteronomy is essentially established on the premise of covenantal family life. It is addressed to the families within the covenant, but also to the nation, and to the priests, and to the Levites. Biblical religion is not simply personal as pietism is. It is personal, but its concern is all-inclusive. The individual, the family, the sanctuary, civil government, everything. So that it is a religion for all of life and every area of life. It is a negation of biblical faith to limit its scope because God's government is universal, and so too is His law and His promises. His providence governs all. Every sphere of life, thought and government, all kinds of activities, vocations and sciences must be under His rule. To limit God is to deny Him. To limit God is to deny Him. No less than Moses, we are all called by God to serve and obey Him and to be His royal servants in our place and time and history. The words of John Newton in his Hymn on Prayer well express what Moses tells the people when he encourages them to have faith. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. None can ever ask too much. Let us pray. Our Father, give us a holy boldness as we come to Thee, a holy boldness as we serve Thee, that in all things we may be faithful, and that we may be more than overcomers in Christ our Lord. How great Thou art, O Lord! Forgive us our fearfulness, our timidity, and our unwillingness to serve Thee with our entire heart, mind, and being. In Christ's name, Amen. Are there any questions now about our lesson? When I was a student, some of the older textbooks still spoke of the Mosaic era as being too primitive for writing. The evidence, I think, indicates that writing goes back to the very beginning of history. It is interesting that not too many years ago, Donald J. Weissman, a British scholar and head of the British Museum, I believe, for many years, put out a book on new light on ancient origins. And he said that the word generations, which he found in ancient tablets in ancient Babylon, the word, the very same word that appears repeatedly in Genesis, and is translated, of course, generations, really should be translated, these are the family records, so that when we read, these are the generations of Adam, it means these are the family records of Noah, and so on. So that we have, from the very beginning, family records that were written down. Well, if there are no questions, let us conclude with prayer. Our Father, we give thanks unto Thee that we in Christ have a victory in time and in eternity. We have a victory that is greater than anything the world knows. Give us a holy confidence, therefore, knowing that Thou hast said, I will never leave Thee nor forsake Thee. Therefore will not we fear what man can do unto us. Give us serenity of heart, patience, and strength in thee. And now go in peace, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost bless you and keep you, guide and protect you, this day and always. Amen.